The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. On today's episode of All About Pets, we'll begin with a few articles from Catster.com, starting with an article titled Cat Scooting, Why It Happens and What to Do by Jackie Brown. Is your cat scooting or dragging his bum around the floor? What causes this strange behavior and how should you treat it? Scooting, which is the polite term for a pet dragging his bum across the ground, is seen more often in dogs, but cat scooting happens sometimes too. Usually this means a cat's rear is itchy or irritated. A little detective work can help you get to the bottom of your cat's scooting. 1. Cat scooting happens because of worms. One of the more common reasons cats scoot is intestinal parasites. Tapeworms is the one that I usually think of, says Cynthia Karstein, outreach veterinarian for the Corot Shelter Medicine Program at the University of California, Davis, School of Veterinary Medicine Center for Companion Animal Health. Other parasites may cause itching and scooting. With tapeworms, you might see evidence in your cat's poop. Tapeworms look like grains of white rice, but some parasites can't be seen with the naked eye. Other signs of parasite infestation include weight loss and a pot belly. 2, allergies can make a cat scoot. If your cat has allergies that cause itchy skin, the itchiness could extend to all areas of the body, including her rear end. Although it's possible for cat allergies to be caused by an intolerance to certain proteins in food, environmental allergies are more frequently seen in cats. With dogs, we think about diet, Dr. Karsten says. Cats just don't seem to have the same food allergies that dogs do, so it's not as common. Environmental allergies in cats can be caused by dust, pollen, mold, mites, and even fleas. What to do about cat scooting? If your cat is scooting, it's time for a visit to the veterinarian to find out what's causing it. Your vet will do a complete physical exam looking for signs of parasites, itchy skin, or problems with glands. The vet will likely want to do a fecal test and possibly a good deworming, especially if there's other issues involved, Dr. Karsten advises. Treatment depends on the cause. Deworming should take care of any irritating parasites. Allergies can be trickier to address, but once the cause of allergies is identified, your vet will be able to prescribe appropriate treatment to soothe the itch and to put a stop in your cat's scooting for good. On a lighter note, why do cats purr? Cat purrs don't always mean your kitty is happy, by Marilyn Krieger. So why do cats purr? Let's look at how cats purr and why cat purring isn't always a sign that your kitty isn't content. Cats are evolutionarily masterpieces of design. They have evolved in such a way that many of their characteristics, including behaviors, are multifunctional, helping to increase the odds of survival. Cat scratching marks territories, it communicates conflicted feelings, and it maintains nail health. Cat whiskers feel wind directions, broadcast moods, and help cats navigate. But what about cat purring? Why do cats purr, and what does it mean when a cat purrs? Let's find out. First, how do cats purr? There are a few theories about how cats purr. The one that stands up the strongest states that cat purrs are produced through a combination of the laryngeal and diaphragmatic muscles, along with a neural oscillator. This theory makes sense because when cats suffer from laryngeal paralysis, they cannot purr. A second theory claims that the small hyoid bone is responsible for cat purrs. The hyoid bone is located between the skull and the larynx. Another theory states that purrs initiate from the central nervous system. Let's look at some reasons why cats purr. 1. Why do cats purr? Newborn kittens and their moms purr to stay safe. Purring is vital for the survival of newborn kittens. The little ones are welcomed into the world by the soft vibrations of their mom's purr. They are born deaf and blind, but they do feel vibrations. These sweet vibrations are perfect homing devices, guiding newborns to the protective warmth of mom's body and their first meals. Kittens start communicating back to mom and their siblings through purrs. They start purring when they are 2 days old. When kittens nurse, they cannot meow, so they show their contentment by purring. Mom purrs back comfort and safety. There is another way primal purring ups the odds for survival. Cat purring helps keep neonates safe from predators. Hungry predators are more likely to detect cries and other vocalizations than the vibrations of purrs. Cat's moms purr when they give birth. In addition to benefiting kittens, purring helps the mothers in a number of ways. The moms are vulnerable and cannot defend themselves when they are giving birth. Painful cries attract danger. Instead of crying, they purr. Purring releases endorphins, reducing pain while simultaneously reassuring the newborns without luring unwanted visitors. Number 2. Cats purr when they want attention. Cat parents are familiar with the relaxing purrs of cats as they cuddle and stroke them. These little purr machines exude contentment and the added benefit of uplifting the moods of the people who adore them while lowering their blood pressure. Many kitties quickly figure out another basic benefit of purring, soliciting food and attention from their favorite people. Since most cat parents lavish attention on their cats when they purr, cats often purr when they want affection and treats. Number 3. Cats purr when they are stressed, in pain, or sick because cat purrs have healing powers. Not all cat purrs are purrs of contentment. Cats purr when they are stressed, in pain, or severely ill. Often cats at the end of their life will purr. Kittens enter life and leave life on a purr. What makes a purr has tickled the curiosity of the scientific community for years. Studies find that purrs oscillate at a low frequency of 25 to 100 hertz. These frequencies promote bone healing and ease muscle pain. Clinical trials of people receiving ultrasound treatments have proven that low-frequency/intensity ultrasound accelerates healing and fractures. Purrs reassure and soothe. They promote healing and reduce pain. There are also reports that cats heal faster than other animals that do not purr, and that purring releases endorphins. Endorphins reduce pain while healing takes place. Purring is the feline equivalent of expensive ultrasound treatments without medical bills. 4. Cats purr for some low-key exercise. It's hard to imagine that relaxed purring cats are in the midst of low-intensity exercise sessions. Felines are experts of conserving their energy through naps and lounging. According to Dr. Leslie Lyons, world-renowned genetics researcher and professor at the University of Missouri College of Veterinary Medicine, the vibrations from purring may stimulate muscles and bones without the cat extending a lot of energy and effort. Something for you to think about the next time you cuddle with your little purr machine. Looks are deceiving. In reality, she might be heavily engaged in calisthenics. And FYI, cats do not have the monopoly on purring. Although our domestic cats are not the only animals who purr, their purrs are unique because they are the only ones who purr while they inhale and exhale. Not all members of the Felidae family technically purr, though. Lions, leopards, and tigers roar, but they do not purr. Cheetahs and cougars are examples of big cats who purr. Many other animals purr as well. The mechanisms that produce the purr vary between species, as do the meanings of their purrs. Gorillas, raccoons, rabbits, ring-tailed lemurs, tapirs, elephants, and hyenas are examples of other animals who purr. Cat purrs are complex and powerful. They comfort cats and their people. Their vibrations heal, produce pain-relieving endorphins, and ensure the survival of newborn kittens. Finally, from Catster, we'll read another article about cat behavior, The Signs of an Annoyed Cat and What Annoys Cats the Most, by Denise LeBeau. How do you tell if you've got an annoyed cat on your hands, and what could you be doing to annoy your kitty? Let's take a look. You're sitting at your home computer. You've got one more email to fire off before powering down for the evening. Suddenly, Catsby jumps onto the desk. He's chewing documents, knocking pens on the floor, and trying to sit on your keyboard. Maybe he'll succeed in deleting an important spreadsheet or restarting the laptop. Your kitty has no idea he's annoying you, yet he's doing just that. You may not be angry, but you're annoyed. On the flip side, humans actually do many things that annoy their cats. So what are the signs of an annoyed cat, and how do you diminish the stressors? An Annoyed Cat and the Tell-Tale Tale. Before exploring the reasons that cats get annoyed, let's look at the ways in which they show us their annoyance. The cat's tail is rushing back and forth when he's annoyed, says Dr. Catherine Haupt, veterinarian, PhD, diplomat, American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, James Law Professor of Behavior Medicine, Emeritus. Echoing the importance of checking the tail, Dr. Kelly C. Ballantyne, clinical assistant professor at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine, says the tail may be flicking at the end, but not yet thrashing or thumping. Dr. Margaret Gruen, PhD, Duke University, says pet parents should heed the signals their cats are sending. An annoyed cat is exactly that, a cat that's starting to give you warnings that he or she would like you to stop what you're doing. You may see attempts to move away or a swishing tail, or a cat may use a paw placed on you. Again, that tail is telling you something. Other signs of an annoyed cat. Cats will use other tactics to announce their annoyance. Meowing is one way. The annoyed cat may also make some low-pitched meows but isn't yet hissing or spitting, Dr. Ballantyne says. Nuanced body language is another way to detect if your cat is annoyed. The annoyed cat may be crouching or ducking his head in his shoulders. He may be turning his head away or leaning away from what is annoying him, Dr. Ballantyne says. The annoyed cat's ears will be slightly turned back, but not completely flattened to the head. Is your cat annoyed? A quick checklist to tell. 1. Swishing, not thumping, tail. 2. Attempting to move away from you. 3. Cat is crouching or ducking head into shoulders. 4. Ears turned back. 5. Low-pitched meowing. An annoyed cat versus an angry cat. An annoyed cat is lower on the spectrum of fear, anxiety, and stress than an aggressive cat, Dr. Ballantyne says. The annoyed cat may still be trying to avoid a direct conflict or fight, but if the threat continues, the annoyed cat may escalate to aggression. Once a cat has switched from annoyed to angry, you will see the tail begin to thump rather than swish, or may become very stiff and still, and his ears may go back, Dr. Gruen explains. He may vocalize with a low growl or a hiss. Very angry cats will adopt a stiff or hunched posture, and their hair and tail may puff up. The truth is that cats give us many warning signs before annoyance turns to anger. Experts agree that once you've determined that your cat is angry, identifying the source of the stress and quelling it can de-escalate the situation quickly. Ensuring your cat has a way of escaping what's upsetting him is crucial. High cat trees, kitty condos, and access to a quiet room can help alleviate his fear and anxiety before an annoyed cat turns angry or aggressive. What's most annoying to cats? According to Ballantyne, there are a lot of reasons why cats get annoyed. We often fail to appreciate our cat's preferences, she explains. While many cat owners love to pet and snuggle their cats, not all cats enjoy this type of physical affection. If you notice signs of annoyance during petting or snuggling, figure out another activity that both you and your cat can enjoy. If your cat is displaying signs of annoyance, check for these culprits. 1. Is there a stray cat outside? 2. Is there another animal blocking access to his food, water, or litter box? 3. Is someone interacting with him in a way he doesn't like? In addition to modifying your own behavior, sometimes you have to act as a referee. In a multi-cat house, there is often an antagonizer in the group. Youngsters may annoy older cats by playing too rambunctiously, and sometimes one of the cats is just a bully. Providing a quiet place at all times is important for all your kitties. Since every cat is an individual, it's important to pay attention to what annoys your cats. We know some cats don't like their bellies touched. Some cats don't want to be picked up. Now we'll move on to the February-March 2018 issue of Dogster Magazine. And we'll start with an article titled Superheroes of Nutrition by Diana Lavender-Dunitz. Do you know the 6 nutrients your dog and you must have to survive and thrive? A groomer friend of mine recently recounted the story of a client who feeds her dog a limited 4-ingredient fresh food diet due to food intolerances. While limited ingredient diets are common for dogs with food sensitivities, the client was not adding any supplementation for fear of causing the dog a reaction. I was floored because no 4 foods can provide all of the nutrition an animal needs to live a long, healthy life. without supplements to fill in the nutritional gaps, this well-intentioned dog guardian is unwittingly causing her canine companion more harm than good. All living organisms need a wide variety of nutrients, substances from food that provide energy and enable our bodies to function to survive. There are six major classes of nutrients for dogs and people: water, protein, fat, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals. Let's take a closer look at each of these and their importance to your dog. Water. What it is: a tasteless, colorless, odorless chemical made up of two hydrogen molecules and one oxygen molecule, hence the name H2O. Why it's important: without water, life cannot exist. Water makes up 70 to 80% of a mature dog's lean body mass. Water's many important functions include dissolving and transporting nutrients to the cells, helping regulate body temperature, hydrolyzing protein, fat, and carbohydrates for digestion, cushioning the organs and nervous system, flushing waste from the body. Special considerations: a dog's water requirements vary based on health, activity level, and environmental temperature. Most dogs self-regulate their water intake to meet their needs. Dogs fed high-moisture foods typically drink less than kibble-fed dogs. All dogs should always have access to clean, fresh H2O. Get it from straight from the tap with a good-quality filter. Protein. What it is: along with fats and carbohydrates, protein is a macronutrient, meaning that it supplies energy. Protein is made up of amino acids, the building blocks of life. Why it's important: protein supplies essential and non-essential amino acids that are critical to life. Proteins give the body structure, think strong hair, skin, nails, muscle, and bones, and are necessary to make hormones, neurotransmitters, enzymes, and antibodies that keep the body functioning optimally. Dogs must receive the essential amino acids from diet, as their bodies cannot produce them at the required levels. Protein can also supply energy in the absence of sufficient carbohydrates and fats. Because the body can't store protein, it needs a constant dietary supply. Special considerations: growing puppies and pregnant and lactating females require about twice as much protein as an adult dog at maintenance. Get it from animal sources such as lean muscle meats, fish, and eggs, plant-based sources such as beans and lentils. Fat. What it is: a macronutrient made up of fatty acids. Dietary fats are either saturated, e.g. butter, cheese, meat, polyunsaturated, e.g. fish oil, flaxseed oil, sunflower oil, or monounsaturated, e.g. olive oil. Why it's important: fat supplies the most concentrated source of energy, with more than twice as many calories as protein and carbohydrates. It also provides essential omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, enables absorption of fat-soluble vitamins, protects the internal organs, regulates body temperature, and promotes a healthy nervous system. Special considerations: too much fat can trigger pancreatitis or gastrointestinal issues. Avoid fatty table scraps. Be aware that coconut oil does not supply essential fatty acids. Get it from low-mercury fish and fish oil, plant-based oils such as flaxseed and hemp seed. Vitamins. What they are: vitamins are organic compounds, meaning that they contain carbon, that are required in small quantities for proper metabolic function. Vitamins can be soluble in fat, A, D, E, and K, or in water, B and C. Fat-soluble vitamins are stored in fatty tissues and the liver. Water-soluble vitamins are never stored. Because the body can't synthesize vitamins in sufficient quantities, they must come from the diet. Why they're important: vitamins play a variety of critical roles, including regulating calcium and phosphorus levels, D, boosting the immune system, A, serving as antioxidants, C and E, enabling the blood to clot, K, and maintaining nervous system function, B12. Special considerations: all home-prepared diets require vitamin supplementation. If you feed a commercial complete and balanced food, do not add additional fat-soluble vitamins, as toxicity can occur. Toxicity of water-soluble vitamins is unlikely, as excess is excreted in urine. Get them from a varied diet containing organ and muscle meats and dog-friendly plant-based foods. Minerals. What they are. Minerals are inorganic compounds that the body needs to maintain proper metabolic functions. The body cannot manufacture minerals and must get them from food. There are two classes of minerals. Macrominerals, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, sodium, potassium, chloride, and microminerals, iron, copper, zinc, manganese, selenium, iodine. Macrominerals are required by the body in higher levels than microminerals, but both types are equally important. Why they're important? Like vitamins, minerals perform a variety of functions in the body that are essential for supporting life, including constituting a major part of bones, calcium, and phosphorus, carrying oxygen throughout the body, iron, assisting in wound healing, zinc, providing antioxidant support, selenium, aiding in nerve transmission, sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and regulating fluid balance, sodium, chloride, potassium. Special considerations. Growing puppies require more than double the calcium of adult dogs at maintenance. Calcium and phosphorus levels and ratios must be monitored closely in a large breed puppies to avoid risk of developing orthopedic disease. Get them from different foods are rich in different minerals. Meat is high in phosphorus while bone is higher in calcium. Organ meats provide copper and iron while shellfish is rich in zinc. Carbohydrates. What they are. A macronutrient made up of units of sugars, starches, or indigestible fiber. Since dogs can synthesize glucose from sufficient dietary protein and fat, carbohydrates are the only nutrient class that is not essential for dogs. Why they're important. Carbohydrates are the main source of glucose, the fuel the body runs on. Although carbohydrates are not an essential nutrient for dogs, healthy carbohydrates supply important vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and plant-based nutrients that help promote optimal health. Special considerations. Consuming a portion of energy from healthy carbohydrates spares protein for other important functions. Steer clear of high glycemic junk carbohydrates that provide little to no nutrition and rapidly raise blood sugar levels. Get them from dog-friendly vegetables, fruits, legumes, and gluten-free grains. The importance of each nutrient class could and does take up entire books, so I've only skimmed the surface. The bottom line is that all dogs need an ample supply of nutrients to survive and thrive. The fewer of these nutrients that come from food, the more supplementation is needed to fill the gaps. Next, we'll move on to Bark Out Loud by Heather Marceau. 9 Valentine's cards our dogs would write if they had thumbs. What would our dogs say if they had the literacy and dexterity necessary to author Valentine's Day cards? Paws aren't meant to hold pens, but if they could, they'd be scribbling one of these heartfelt decorations of hound dog love. Number 1. This poetic spelling lesson. A note from a dog who is too cool for school, but never too cool for you. You can't spell Valentine without canine. Well, I guess you don't need the C, but you can't spend Valentine Day without me. XOXO, your dog. 2. A card about interspecies sibling rivalry. You have your dog's heart, but the cat sure doesn't. Dearest human, I'm not kidding around. I love you more than the cat does. Love, your dog. P.S. I would never shame you by pooping in an indoor box. Gross. Remember that. 3. This grocery list disguised as a love letter. Dog lovers know it's always better to bring home food than flowers. It's Valentine's Day and you make my heart whole, but we are almost out of food for my bowl. Seriously, please go to the pet store on your way home, or I will have to break our agreement about staying off the counter. Always hungry, your dog. 4. Another declaration of love for food. Some dogs are food motivated, others are food obsessed. We love them anyway, and this card proves they love us. I love you too, kibbles and bits. Oh, can I have some kibble? Or that leftover chicken from last night? Or maybe some fancy wet food? Why am I writing this card again? Oh yeah, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day, human. Let's celebrate over dinner. 5. Pup's Guide to Romantic Language. This one's a love letter from a well-versed canine poet. Don't chew toy with my emotions. I'm howling to know if you'll be the loving human to my perro romantico. yours, the dog. 6, a personal ad success story. As anyone who's tried online dating knows, it's hard to find a match who shares your interest. This dog is amazed his rescue profile worked so well. I still can't believe I found a human who loves sunsets and long walks on the leash as much as I do. Love, your lucky dog. 7, from the dog who loves the mirror too. Some dogs really love their humans. Some really love themselves. This dog loves both. To my perfect match, a beauty as fetching as yours is equal only to my dachshund good looks. Love, your handsome boy. 8, even your dogs know loves can be messy and muddy. Life with a dog is equal parts love and laundry. Metaphorically speaking, your fingerprints are all over my heart. And if we're being literal, my paw prints are all over the side of your bed. Sorry. Love always, your dog. A canine twist on a classic. Even dogs reference this famous cartoon card. I choose you, and sometimes sock. Because I love you more than Ralph loves Lisa. Now let's go for a walk. Hugs and licks, your pup. We've said it before here at Dogster. Dogs really do make the best Valentine's Day dates. The lack of thumbs and language means you're not going to find a card from your dog when you get home on the 14th, but you will find your best friend waiting by the door for you. That kind of love is worth more than every Valentine's card in the drugstore. Now some notes from the obsession section. Health Talk and Legal Talk by Jackie Brown. The Price of Love. Most of us hate the stress of an unexpected vet bill, but would do just about anything for our furry family members. After all, you can't put a price on love, or can you? A recent study conducted by LendEDU polled U.S. pet owners to find out how much they would spend to save their pet in an event of a life-threatening illness. It turns out that the average dog parent is willing to spend more than $10,000 to save their pet's life. At just shy of $3,500, cat owners were not as spendy. Looks like dogs win again. Rescue pets only in California pet stores. In September, the California State Assembly voted 55-2 to pass Assembly Bill 485, which would ban pet stores from selling puppies, kittens, and rabbits unless they came from animal shelters or rescue groups. The bill was sent to Governor Jerry Brown, who signed it. The bill is intended to block the sale of pets who come from puppy mills and other large-scale breeding operations. The statewide ban will go into effect in 2019. It applies only to pet stores, not private breeders. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.